A lot of people think that the WWE doesn't hurt. That what we do, maybe it's done with smoke and mirrors,
right.
And I wish that were true. But anybody in that locker room, anybody who has ever stepped foot in here, laced up a pair of boots, they know that's not the case. Which brings me to what I'm about to tell you. 8 years ago, I broke my neck. I had spinal fusion surgery, which means they move your throat over, they put a plate in there and screws, and it's really in-depth surgery. But because of that surgery, I knew that I was wrestling on borrowed time from that point on. So fast forward, and the last little while, I've been in a lot of pain. I've been losing feeling in my arms. So I passed strength tests and all of those things, and I made it through WrestleMania. But the WWE wanted me to go get more tests, and thankfully I did, because the MRI showed that that I have to retire. I mean, trust me, it's not my choice. The doctors have told me that I got no choice. And thankfully, they found out, because I'm not going to end up in a wheelchair now.
Who's it going to be?
You think you know me?
No, no way. Oh, my!
You got to be kidding me.
The Rated R Superstar! Edge is here!
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
I have fantastic news for you two. None of that recorded. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to another edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me on all of your forms of social media at ChairShotGreg. When I'm on there, you know I check in once every other day on average, but it's at ChairShotGreg, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The Greg DeMarco Show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find currently exclusively at ChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I say currently, that's a conversation for the end of the show today, but this is The Greg DeMarco Show as part of TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We're off to a late start this evening because there were some technical difficulties. I'm not going to name any names, but her initials are Miranda Morales. And we're just going to dive right into stuff right now. So, he's at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. WrestlingRealist, Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
FABULO.
Say hi to the people with your Western Mass Wrestling shirt on.
Hey, you know, I had to represent
the local indie podcast.
Went to the local indie show.
You did.
This past Saturday. I did.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good.
Same talent as your other indie. The female voice you just heard.
There were like two different people.
That's good that they had two different people there. It's a common problem. The female voice you heard is, of course, at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook, not on Twitter because she's too smart for Twitter. It's Miranda Morales. Also went to didn't go to an indie show this weekend. Worked an indie show this weekend.
I did work an indie show. I just get so excited when I hear people talk about going to their local independent shows. I couldn't help it. Very, very proud of Patrick. And yes, I've worked an independent show last weekend.
I've been to local independent shows for years.
Oh, I know. But I was, maybe proud. But
already
just like, butthurt. My heart.
Much? Already butthurt.
No,
jeez.
It's not meant to be condescending.
No, fortunate to be blessed by Miranda Morales.
Oh, jeez. I'm gonna buzzer you. Wait, that's the wrong one. Hang on. Here we go. That's for you, Patrick.
He's not wrong. You're not wrong.
Do it.
I hardly disagree with you, Patrick. You're not wrong.
Do it.
But he's proving he doesn't deserve the blessings that he's talking about with his behavior.
that's okay. I mean, but
as it says in the intro.
We are.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. You do your thing. Your thing.
Ladies first. Please go ahead.
I mean we've already started late, you know, and Greg's been talking about how this show is going to be shorter and we've already made it longer, so you know, by all means, do what you got to do. What,
you were right. I gave you the buzzer that you were right.
I won the damn game show.
Yes. No, I was just going to say everyone should go support their local promotions. And it makes me happy every time I hear someone does. That's all.
Yes, go support your local independent wrestling promotion. You'll see people before they're people. We're going to dive into stuff this week. We're going to talk about the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about Edge coming back. Just a lot of great stuff to talk about here this week on the Greg DeMarco Show. But before we do, I got to talk about a little bit of a personal topic, and that is the passing this past weekend of one Kobe Bryant. Now, I know people, longtime listeners of the show, are right now throwing things because there are times when wrestlers pass away and we don't talk about it on this show. And people are like, well, so-and-so died and you didn't bring it up. Now you're talking about Kobe Bryant. This is where the wrestling analyst, the wrestling fan, because we're all still fans, ends and the real person begins. Because I want to just talk briefly about Kobe Bryant, because there's actually a little bit of a story behind it for me. Not like many other people who've been actually talking about Kobe and impacted by Kobe. I'm not a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm not even a fan of the NBA. But I'm a tremendous fan of Kobe Bryant as a person and the things that he's done. Patrick and Miranda both know this. Patrick and I haven't talked about it recently. Miranda and I talked about it back in December. I listen to a ton of Jim Rome, and he's highly influential over me and Jim Rome. And Kobe Bryant had a tremendous relationship. And Rome interviewed Kobe countless times, and so listening to those over the years, you get to know so much behind the individual. And you guys know, I've talked about on the show, that I've been on my own personal weight loss journey, and Kobe Bryant is one of the inspirations behind just the hard work that goes into that. There are stories, when Kobe retired and he dropped 60 in his very last game, the next day he was interviewed by Jim Rome, and before the interview, which was done in the morning, so that the game was at night, last game ever, all the stuff, you know, probably finished up 2 in the morning. Jim Rome show comes on at 9 in the morning local time. Kobe had already gone to the gym and worked out. He's done. He retired from basketball, and he already went to the gym and worked out. And it's just an amazing amount of dedication and discipline that he showed that is really impactful for someone like me. And he basically became an American sports icon. And American is really the key word there, because everybody knows about the bad stuff involved with Kobe Bryant as well. And there's plenty of it. But he's also a redemption story. And America loves a redemption story, and that's what Kobe Bryant is. And of course, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that he died in a helicopter accident. He was 41 years old, and aboard that helicopter was his daughter, as well as some friends and family of Kobe and his daughter there. Kobe's daughter was 13 years old, and that's kind of where those things started to hit home. My son is 13 years old. My daughter's 11 years old. And there were friends and family aboard that helicopter with them. There were, you know, 8 or 9 people total, depending on which story that you believe. And their families are never going to see him again. Kobe's got 3 more kids and a wife who were never going to see him again. And when I put myself in that position, you know, just imagining never being able to see my wife again, never being able to see my kids again. I'm talking about friends and family on there. You know, I get to do a podcast with my best friend of 16 years and my best friend of 16 months. And imagine not being able to see, you know, Patrick again. I'm going to see Patrick in less than 2 weeks, right? Like, I haven't done that in a couple of years. I just saw Miranda on Saturday. So it's literally, you know, it's so weird how these things make you put stuff into perspective and what's truly important in life. And when stuff like this happens, and because I listen to Jim Rome, it's a Southern California-based radio show, all these people are calling in. Like, he was an iconic figure locally as well. Like, he went and, like, he'd go out to dinner with his family. People saw him at In-N-Out Burger. They saw him at the gym. They saw him picking up his kids from school. Like, he was a normal citizen and didn't get hounded by people. Like, that's how much that community loved Kobe Bryant. And whenever this happens, it's always so cliche, or at least we think it's cliche. I think we pretend it's cliche because we don't want to think about it. Everyone always says, you know, tell your loved ones that you love them because you never know what's going to happen, whatever. And there's some truth to that. Like, tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. And when someone's gone, and we're talking about an iconic figure, like, when you think about this generation, just in the NBA, like, I'm not an NBA fan, but it's Jordan, LeBron, Shaq, and Kobe. Like, that's the 4 biggest stars of the NBA in this generation. And one of them's gone. You know, in the wrestling sense, like, imagine Edge didn't return to the Royal Rumble on Sunday, but he died in a helicopter accident instead. Like, that's the wrestling equivalent. I think the only, or John Cena suddenly was gone. The only actual wrestling equivalent that happened maybe would be Eddie Guerrero, but Eddie was still an active performer, even though he was in the twilight of his career. But the impact it had on people is very similar to the impact that Kobe and his passing had on people. So, yeah, it hits you in a weird way sometimes. It hits you in some different ways, but just, you know, something that's impactful, something that is hits true to home sometimes, and is just something I wanted to share with everybody before we moved on, because it's a real life thing, and sometimes I like us to talk about real life things and share real life stuff. So don't want to be a downer, but it did happen, and it's something that I want to address. So don't have to, but I don't know if either of you guys have anything to shed on that before we actually dive into, you know, the good stuff, the wrestling stuff.
I mean, I don't know that I have too much to add. It was interesting. It was kind of surreal because the news broke during the recording of my podcast, the Bandwagon Nerds podcast. Rick actually dropped the news and kind of threw things off because, you know, Greg, you talked about him being a local, you know, and an American, you know, icon. I think that you're seeing that there's more to it than that, just based on the responses that you've seen at soccer sporting events internationally. Court, you know, basketball courts, obviously all over the world responding to that. To give people an idea of just the sort of the impact, you know, to me and why this is so significant, my wife, the lovely and talented Mrs. O'Dowd. Craig, how much sports does Mrs. O'Dowd know?
Whatever you've told her about.
Right. So I came upstairs after recording the podcast and was like, Kobe Bryant died. And even she was like, really? And like his reach was just far beyond basketball. And I think that speaks a lot to the impact he's had and will continue to have. I mean, we still barely talked about the Super Bowl. Like in sports media, and the Super Bowl is on Sunday. That's crazy. That's just how huge he was.
He was. He definitely was. And you know, it's just one of those things where you know there are sometimes if you heard that someone passed away, you wouldn't be shocked, right? Just because of the life they've lived or whatever. I think people just thought Kobe was gonna be around forever, and he gone. So that's what's crazy about it. Miranda, I know you're not as big of a fan of certain things, but anything that you want to share, and you don't have to.
No, I think that both of you talked a lot about, I think, some of the things that people were thinking regarding his impact, regarding the news, and the way that people viewed him and will remember him by. The cross sports, you know, appeal, but also admiration. You know, he influenced soccer players and football players and tennis players. And the work ethic that he upheld, a lot of people just pulled that into their day-to-day and seeing the reactions of fans, people who played beside him, against him. Everyone is in mourning. And to me, I think what hurts the most is just the family, his wife and his kids and wife especially having to deal with the impact of both losses. I can never imagine that. So my heart goes out to them specifically because that's an immense pain that I would never wish on anyone and imagine what that would feel like. But absolutely, I think there's just an appreciation for him and how he affected and impacted people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Chris Paul couldn't even play his next game, had to sit it out. The tonight was supposed to be the two Los Angeles basketball teams, the Clippers and the Lakers, and they just were like, we're not playing the game. The game's been postponed. They'll have to figure out a time where they can redo it. So, yeah, just a lot of, you know, it happens. He's an icon. He's overcome a lot. He's an international icon. You know, and he's a single name person. Like, you just, when you hear Kobe, you know who you're talking about, you know, and that's that says a lot. So yeah, you know, gone but not forgotten, and obviously that's gonna be, you know, something that people have to deal with, some people have to put up with. So talk to people, tell them you love them, have the conversations you need to have, because like I said, tomorrow's not guaranteed, but hopefully it's tomorrow when you listen to this and you're still here and we're able to listen to it as well. So we're going to talk about some wrestling. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We lost Miranda. We did. We lost Miranda. There was no buzzer. There was no buzzer because there was no Miranda. Like, she was frozen, and you guys both froze at different times during the end of that, and then she dropped off, and now she's coming back, but we're not going to make her do it.
You think you know me.
So as a wrestling fan, in case you've been living under a rock, you know that Edge made his return to the WWE and to professional wrestling as a whole as the 21st entrant into the 2020 Royal Rumble match, 2020 Men's Royal Rumble match on Sunday in Houston. And you guys heard it during the open of the show, a tremendous pop, a tremendous reaction. Edge, of course, denying the reports in the weeks leading up to it. Good for him for doing that and letting people still be fans and letting people still have their moment. Just a hell of a moment for me, and I just was so excited when Edge came back. Edge is, you know, one of the biggest stars of his generation that it's crazy to think about. For me, personal top five, especially of this generation, Edge falls in there. I never thought he was coming back. And when people were like, oh, Edge is going to come back, I'm like, you're stupid. Stop saying Edge is going to come back. He's not going to come back. So happy to be wrong. Like, I have no problem being wrong there. And I'm so excited that I'm wrong, because that means that Edge is back and is back in WWE. Since I'm not sure what Miranda's doing right now, she's got the little generic icon there. There she's back. Oh, she switched to the phone. Miranda, she just took her earpiece out. I don't even know if she can. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I
don't
know.
I can hear Miranda you. Go first.
Okay, good. Miranda, go first. Edge is back. Give us your reaction.
So it was interesting because I was actually in bed. I'd been sick for the past few days. So I was hustling sideways, watching the Rumble. I'd already seen, you know, MVP come out. I thought that was a fun surprise, you know, very cute, you know, very cool. But when Edge came out, I was shocked. I like marked out definitely a little bit of yelling, a little bit of screaming. I think probably the equivalent of, oh my God, no way. Those types of words came out. It was a big shocker after all this time, after, you know, listening to his retirement speech, after, you know, seeing all his back and forth on social media, telling people no, to see him out there felt really, really good as a fan, as a long-term fan. And you can tell in his face, you know, how much it meant to him to be out there, to have this opportunity. And it was just a beautiful, you know, combination of timing, luck, and opportunity coming together to create a moment, not only for him, but for all the fans who were there, for all the people who were watching. Huge shocker. I definitely screamed. I actually just Googled Edge Rumble reactions yesterday just to see everyone's reactions, because it made me laugh. It made me happy to watch them, because a lot of them were very funny. People screaming and jumping and hugging. Like, it was a true moment that you can't really capture in pro wrestling, since it's predetermined. Like, those things don't happen very often. When it does, it's not only lightning in a bottle, it's, you know, a shooting star. It's all the magic in the world coming together for such a moment. So that's what it meant to me.
Patrick, what about you? What was your initial reaction, or just reaction in general, to Edge's return?
My reaction when he returned was, you know, kind of the same as you two. I don't know if shock is the right word, because... And you're not going to believe me, but I wasn't particularly, like, I wasn't overwhelmingly surprised that he showed up, because of the amount of smoke that was surrounding the rumors of him coming back. And so, you know, denying, which is what he does, and knowing the type of surgery he had made it very unlikely. But when there's that much talk, I was like, yay, oh, it happened. That's so great. And I think that for me, I think what was most gripping to me was, and Miranda hinted at it, just the amount of emotion that he was trying to hold in when he's standing in the aisle. Like, he's trying to not cry. Like, he was trying to hold back tears as he's standing there, taking in the ovation and getting all that excitement. And so that moment in my mind was probably the most special part of the Rumble itself, and everything he did in the ring afterwards was going to kind of be gravy on top of that. You know, I hope the guy who ordered the cutaway on his first spear gets fired.
It's crowd reaction shot. I mean, they cut away to the crowd because the crowd's going nuts. Like, I was hoping nobody would bring that up, because I wanted to call those people idiots, and then you brought it up, so now I got to call you an idiot. But
it's terrible.
No, it's
not. I think it's a terrible decision. I think it's a terrible... Like, I get why they did it. Like, I get that you want that crowd reaction shot. You cut away. Like, it's not just that it was like a cutaway to a crowd reaction shot. He's going in the ring to launch the spear, and then they cut away.
Yeah, like, very first spear.
It's going to happen, okay. And they cut
away. I'm gonna play the Greg DeMarco asshole card that I like to play sometimes.
You play your ass.
Have you ever been part of a live televised production of any kind?
No. And obviously, I don't care.
The reason why I ask you is because I've done it, and it's never just a cutaway shot. Like, usually, you know, several seconds before what shot you're going to, and you're committed to it because you're communicating. And I've been on radios where they're like, camera four, ready. Camera four, coming to four. Going to four.
And the communication was shit then, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can forgive it. And that's
how do you know he didn't go to the spot too soon?
How do you know you don't keep it on him and have your camera at the ready to cut away after he hits the first spear? I'm sorry. I think that that's a no-brainer. Like, honest to God, I think it's a no-brainer. It's clear that the first thing that he was going to do is hit the ring, spear. You catch that moment. You just do.
And they have multiple cameras, so I would assume it would make it a lot easier to be able to
again,
capture.
It's a quibble. It's not like it ruined anything, although I think a guy should be fired, you know, over that quibble.
You want people to lose their job and their livelihood, but it's not a big thing.
We're in radio. It's hot takes. You got to do hot takes.
No, you don't.
You tell me that my takes aren't hot enough, and now when I have a hot take, this is your answer?
You don't have to go to fired. You don't have to go to fired.
You're pissy about my hot take for once. You're pissy about my hot take for once. And so now you're going to call me out over the hot take. Shame on you, sir. I'm going back to being me.
Awesome!
There's
a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Would agree with me.
No, he wouldn't. Because he's smarter than that. And he doesn't care. That's right. So yeah, Edge was in the Royal Rumble. And apparently the camera shot ruined everything for everybody. Here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing about Edge that, Ed, like I said, one of my top five personal favorites. Just a couple crazy things that come up. So Edge retired in April of 2011. We started this podcast in May of 2011. We've never covered Edge, at least not as an active performer. We've covered his retirement a little bit. We covered his Hall of Fame induction the following year, and we've talked about him here and there. But we've never actually gotten to cover active performing Edge. And now we do. So it's exciting.
So, what do you think? What kind of run do you think this is going to be? Do you think this is a retirement run, or do you think this is, and by enemy could be a retirement run, and be like a year long retirement run, or could this just be a 2 month retirement run?
The deal is reportedly for 3 years, so it just depends on whether or not that's accurate. And you look at when Daniel Bryan came back, and you know who knew how long that was going to be for. I would imagine, I believe the speculation that he's going to be a part-timer a couple times a year, multiple, you know, maybe the Brock Lesnar schedule, that sort of thing. Because, had he not retired when he did, he would have retired within 2 years after that. And he said that multiple times. That was 9 years ago. So really, if he had his way, he would have retired 7 years ago. He's really just coming back so he can go out on his own terms. And he said that. Right. Pretty much during his promo on Raw. And to me, I think we're going to get 2 or 3 years of Edge, major pay-per-views, and a couple other appearances here and there. And I think that's going to be it, to be honest with you. So 2 to 3 years at most, and then we'll get a proper retirement. Remember, he's already in the Hall of Fame. So maybe he's the first person that goes in twice as an individual. I don't know. Maybe they can induct Edge and Christian as a tag team, and Christian can finally go in. Who knows? But Edge is it's so weird too, because when you think about people who have had this kind of return. Now Edge's layoff was 9 years, which is doesn't feel like it was 9 years ago. Like it feels like about the same amount of time as Shawn Michaels, who was 4 years, Daniel Bryan, who was barely even 3 years. It just doesn't feel like it was 9 years ago, but it was 9 years ago, which is just absolutely insane to think about. That's been 9 years since his WrestleMania 26 match with Alberto Del Rio, and that was his last match until, this past Sunday night. So kind of crazy. So that's what I think. I think we're going to get 2, maybe 3 years of Edge at most. Maybe less. Maybe he's just going to come back, do a few things, and feel satisfied, and then go away. I don't know. What do you guys think, Miranda? What do you think in terms of Edge's longevity in this return?
I think, too, it depends on who he wants to have matches with. And I'm sure he has kind of an internal kind of bucket list or list of people he'd like to face. I really liked during his promo how he kind of called out people and mentioned that he didn't hasn't forgotten them. And one of them is Seth Rollins. So I'm sure, you know, that's someone on his list that he wants to wrestle. So I think it also depends on who's on that list, who's the list of people he wants to work with, or the company sees that is good potential for him to work with. And that may influence a bit of the length of the run. But I see, you know, if the deal's for 3 years, I can't imagine it running that much longer. I'm sure the company would love to have him for as long as they could. But you know, he's still, even though he's back, it doesn't mean that he still doesn't have a life and still has, you know, other career opportunities and things that he's been doing. I think it's been he's been able to venture out in acting and in other avenues. He has a family, you know, between him and Beth, who's going to watch the kids. So, you know, they got that to think about. But that's me. I'm sure he has a list of people that he wants to have programs with. And maybe once he's gone through that list, that's when he'll really feel satisfied.
It's interesting that you brought up he's got a list of people, and obviously he's got an internal list of people, because so did Kurt Angle, and his retirement match was against Baron Corbin. And I mean, we all know how we feel about Baron Corbin on this program. Well, we'll tell everybody. Miranda will tell everybody how we feel about Baron Corbin.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
You know, technically, Baron Corbin lost twice at the Royal Rumble, both his match and got eliminated at the during the Royal Rumble match. So, you know, that really shows that Baron Corbin sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
That was some hashtag journalism by me right there. That's a shout out to the Outsiders Edge crew, who loves to hashtag journalism during their shows. But no, it's interesting that you talked about, because I'm sure Kurt Angle didn't want to wrestle Baron Corbin in his retirement match, and had other people he would have liked to wrestle before he retired. But that's the thing. You know what you sign up for when you sign a WWE contract, even when you're Edge. Now, there are some stories that write themselves. I mean, that Seth Rollins story, like, we've talked about that, Patrick, like when Rollins got to use Edge to put himself over and basically threatened to paralyze Edge, like, that angle was amazing. And if they don't do that at some point, if that's not a match at like SummerSlam or even on its own, you know, on a smaller pay-per-view so it can sell the pay-per-view, then, you know, shut up and give me my money back, because that is a program that is just screaming to happen. Like, look, okay, I'm not going to cancel the WWE Network.
Watch out for Keith.
But I'm going to claim I would if they don't do that program, because that's the program that definitely needs to happen. Patrick, answer your own question. What are we getting out of Edge?
Well, and I think you brought up the good point. I think that it's going to be a year to a year and a half worth of wrestling appearances over a three-year time span, if that makes sense. So the contract may be for 3 years, and we'll see Edge for 3 years. But really what we're going to see in the ring and what he actually does, I think, is going to be like I think a year and a half worth of stuff. I think that one of the things that you just brought up that people need to be cautious about is who you think Edge should face. Just because you think Edge should face certain people doesn't mean he's going to.
AJ Styles.
Yeah.
What?
And
don't
for
break
those,
my heart, my poor Marky heart.
Well, look, we don't always get what's on our playlist. I pointed that out actually on Twitter this week.
You did.
But what I will say is that I think it's fascinating how, and we were talking about this before the show, pulling the curtain back, how quickly people forget the status of certain wrestlers. People are losing their minds that, like, AJ Styles isn't the guy facing Edge. And why isn't AJ Styles facing Edge? Why isn't he the guy, Greg?
Because he's hurt. He's injured.
Oh, no.
He got hurt during the Royal Rumble.
And who makes the most sense, honestly, for your first return, for your first match back, other than Seth Rollins? It's Randy Orton.
That would be Randall Keith Orton, the
right,
first.
It's Randy Orton. It was so, like, you saw it coming. You knew it was happening.
Oh, yeah.
But when it happened, like, I was fine with it. Like, inject that into my veins. Like, I'll watch that. And you know that Randy and Edge, one, trust each other very, very much.
Oh, yeah.
They're very, very good friends. You know that Randy is going to protect that neck throughout. Like,
Randy's one of the safest workers in the company. Right. So I mean, the two safest workers in the company are named Randy Orton and Triple H. And in the Triple H match, we probably don't need to see, although I'd sign me up. I'm a little upset that they didn't do something more with Rated RKO. Like, when Orton came out and made that suggestion, I'm like, we already got, you know, Patrick O'Dowd's favorite rotisserie tag team of the moment, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy, which, hey, Buddy Murphy's a champion again, so that's there's that. Wasn't in the Rumble, but it's okay because we got Edge, so I'm fine with it. But I would have loved to see Rollins and Murphy versus Rated RKO at WrestleMania, but we're going to get Edge and Orton, and maybe we'll somehow involve, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if we somehow involved, all, you know, if that was a multi-man match, and that could be good for Edge as well. The wild card, the wild card, I'm scrolling. The wild card.
Wild card, bitches!
The wild card and all this is Edge. Like, he hasn't been on the road. He hasn't been working. He might decide in 6 months he's good and he's done and he's retiring again. Like, yeah, he signed a 3-year deal and that's, you know, 2 years shorter than everyone else's deal right now with WWE. And I believe the speculation that he talked to AEW because why wouldn't he? He's a businessman. Now, look, I'm sure as hell glad he didn't sign with AEW for two reasons. Number one, they wouldn't know what to do with him because it's AEW and they don't know what to do with their own talent because Tony Khan shouldn't be booking anybody. And number two, we don't want to watch
AEW, man. AEW's the best show in history ever.
Don't ruin our show.
Stop
talking.
Why are you a shill for the WWE, Greg?
I'm going to hang up on you because, like,
because you get paid. You get paid by WWE, right?
I wish. I wish I got paid by WWE. I love people like, you just get paid by WWE. Yeah, okay. Pay me.
He wants a job with the WWE.
So does person telling me I want a job with WWE. Like, that's...
I want to work for Cody. Only Cody. Oh, come on, sorry. I got to put my retainer back in.
Corgi's a kind of a dog.
I know. I have my retainer in. I
know.
Just for a second.
So here's what I'm getting at, okay? Number one, they wouldn't know how to book Edge. Number two, Adam Copeland would never get over because we all know there's only one Adam who can ever get over in the world of professional wrestling. Here's the crazy thing about Edge that I wanted to bring up. We're all excited that Edge is back. I'm elated that Edge is back. So excited that Edge is back, right? Off the top of my head, I can't think of a wonderful Edge match. Like all these wrestlers, you can point to amazing matches they've had. For a one-on-one match, like when you think of Edge, people immediately go to tables, ladders, and chairs and things like that. Like
Edge versus The Undertaker, or Foley, man. WrestleMania.
Right, but even that, like, great for a lot of different reasons, but not this technical masterpiece. Like, Edge getting the main event WrestleMania with The Undertaker, probably one of the best Hell in a Cell matches ever was Edge and The Undertaker, which also got to be a main event, which is one of the first non-title Hell in a Cell matches to take place as well. I mean, it wasn't the first one, obviously, because the first one was a non-title match, but there's a lot. But it's like when you think of certain guys, Edge doesn't have as many standout performances, but he's consistent.
Well, hold on, define perform. I think there's a difference between moments and, like you mentioned, kind of the technical acumen. Because moments, yes, I think that, you know, I mean, he was really the first person to utilize the Money in the Bank briefcase in the way that, you know, really set its legacy for the rest of its existence. But yes, like matches, you know, maybe it's not specifically, you know, those technical masterpieces, you know, it's not the Bret Harts, it's, you know, things like that. But moment wise in matches and the way that they're set up, I think that's what, you know, he's remembered for.
So I'm going to jump into our Wayback Machine, Greg, because we, you talked about how we never talked about Edge the live performer, but I definitely remember a lot of the conversations we had on earlier editions of this program. And one of the things that I always came back to when it came to Edge was this idea. He's solid. He was always this reliable, solid, top of the card, credible guy who could work with anybody. Right. Now, whether that was a five-star masterpiece, I'm surprised that you're like, I can't immediately think of a match. Like, and I guess like the Edge Foley match was the one that first came to mind. The Edge Undertaker match at WrestleMania, also very, very good match when Undertaker was in the peak of that run where he was just great match after great match, because we all forget about the terrible ones at the beginning of that run.
Of course.
But
no one wants to think about Elegante or King Kong.
And his work with John Cena, by the way, like his work with his program with John Cena when he first cashed in the Money in the Bank, even though there was that, you know, it was a transitional run, as people call it. Like, there was a lot of good stuff there, though. And I don't know. I think that people might undervalue him because he was so kind of prevalent and reliable in the role that he was in. But I think that, you know, I think there, at least for me, there's at least three money feuds that I love to go, like, I'm happy to go back and watch.
Right. Here's the thing. So you're talking about feuds and not necessarily individual matches. And what's funny is that Miranda already answered the question before you started talking and defending the point you didn't need to defend. Edge is not known for that stuff. Like, when people put together top five lists, top 10 lists, he's rarely on it. His matches are rarely on it. Edge is remembered for the persona. Edge is remembered for the connection. There's an article at thechairshot.com titled Edge of My Seat that Heather Janine wrote and put in, and she hadn't written one in a while but wanted to with Edge. Like, the connection that he seemed to have with fans is unique. Only the Edge, like the connection that he made is one that for some reason people got into, and every entrance he made, he kind of sometimes looked surprised to be there. And you think about the moments that he had, Money in the Bank and the celebration with Lita, and just so many different things that he did and he was a part of. He's going to be remembered for so many things, and most of them aren't matches. Most of them are moments. Most of them are angles. Most of them are storylines. And he went to the Hall of Fame for it, and he went to the Hall of Fame immediately. Like, when he retired, there was all this news that they were in a panic because Edge was supposed to carry SmackDown and now he was going to be gone. And that's really where he comes in, because he's Edge, and that's the career he built. He didn't build his career kind of the traditional way. Like, you'll remember, and I said this when Edge was gone with his injury the first time, and he made his return during a WWE draft episode on Raw and speared Eric Bischoff. It probably still exists on a message board somewhere. I said, it's too late for Edge. The window of opportunity has closed. This was before he ever won one world title. And now he has won, you know, countless world championships. You know, been in a freaking tag team with Hulk Hogan. Like, just so many different things that you know, and that to him was a, you know, people hate Hulk Hogan and whatever. That to him was a dream come through. So Edge has been able to do just so many different things. You know, you're talking about someone who was an 11-time world champion. I had to look it up. An 11-time world champion, which is just absolutely insane considering, you know, the window of opportunity closed. I also said Matt Hardy was going to be the better Hardy brother. So, and Marty Jannetty was going to be the better rocker. So, yeah, don't listen to me. But that's the point I was trying to make. Like, Edge is not remembered in the way a lot of other people are remembered. Edge's place in wrestling with a lot of wrestling fans is completely different. When Edge debuted, he was completely different. Like, his first finisher was winning matches by countout. Like, it's literally, he was such a different performer and always has been a different performer, and I think that resonated with people. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people today, maybe like a Kevin Owens, who resonates in the same way that Edge did back then. So that's where I was going with that, Patrick O'Dowd. Like, I didn't need you to defend Edge's three matches that you can think of when we could think of so many more matches for so many more individuals. Like Daniel Bryan. I could ramble off Daniel Bryan matches that are great Daniel Bryan matches way quicker than I can ramble off Edge matches. But Edge is higher on my list as a performer. Fine. So
you asked for matches. I followed your directions.
I didn't ask for matches. I didn't really want matches.
Continue your burial.
You need to understand that sometimes I'm not asking what I really want to ask. It's like a woman. Sometimes I'm not asking the question that I really want to ask. Miranda's laughing in agreement. She knows.
Laughing in agreement.
Sure you are.
I don't support or condone that statement.
Okay. I'm not going to play the K soundbite again. So, Edge being able to return after being gone for 9 years and getting cleared and all of that, like, what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? For the business, for people who were injured, for Edge himself, and I'm sure there's still some risk involved in what he's doing. Patrick, what does all this mean to you, and just from that business perspective?
I mean, I think it'll do good business. Do I think it's going to change the landscape of wrestling forever? Not necessarily. I think it just gives us a fitting coda to a career. And I think that in the back of my mind, every time I watch him work, I'm still going to be worried about him getting hurt. It's the same thing. Every time I watch Daniel Bryan take a bump, I worry that he's going to get re-injured. So maybe I'm just not up on medical science and what that means for folks coming back. I mean, if this does show a path to return, I also wonder that if it was somebody other than a name like Edge, would they get the opportunity to return? Like, would the WWE take it up? So I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see and find out. Miranda, what does this mean long term? Just for however you want to take it, in your opinion.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because we were just talking about, you know, the length of time that he'll have there. Who knows what kind of impact it's going to have. And with maybe some of the people he works with, it could have a huge impact on the career, especially if, you know, there may be some of the younger talent that he kind of gives the rub to. It could mean a lot to their career. But for the landscape of wrestling, I think a lot of that changed with Daniel Bryan. And once Daniel Bryan came out of retirement, nothing seemed out of the ordinary or out of the box, and including Edge coming back. I think there was conversations, you know, right after Daniel Bryan coming back, saying, well, now Edge can come back, right? I think, you know, Daniel Bryan already set that precedence. I agree with Patrick as far as, you know, if other people in that same situation were to be ready to come back, would the WWE bite? And ultimately, it's who you are, you know? If you were a mid-carder or lower card guy and that happened to you and this opportunity came back, I'm sure the WWE would say thanks, but no thanks. But, you know, if you're, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, and all the things, all the right magic happened for him to come back, of course they would want him back. But that's really the only other person I can think of that is at an equivalent level. So the landscape of professional wrestling, I kind of agree, has already been shooken up, but I do think it can mean some really great things for potentially some current roster members that he can work with and teach and, you know, what they can learn from him.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, it's the internet, right? Paige is obviously next. Royal Rumble 2021. Paige coming out, number 30. All right, enough about Edge. Real quick, just want to let people know a couple of reminders here. You know, we were talking about the Royal Rumble, which you, of course, watched on the WWE Network. There are other places you can watch your wrestling, including our good friends over at powerslam.tv. And if you head over to powerslam.tv, use the promo code CHAIRSHOT, you can get yourself a free month. All kinds of all sorts of over 6,000 hours of content, new content added daily. Over 150 of your favorite promotions and Combat Zone Wrestling. It is powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
And again, remember, that's powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. Look, if you go there, you get a free week. But with the promo code, you can get a free month. powerslam.tv, promo code ChairShot. You can also go over to prowrestlingtees.com/ChairShot and pick up your very own ChairShot. But don't take it from me. I don't even have my own shirt. I know Patrick likes to complain because he doesn't have his own shirt. I don't even have my own shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/ChairShot. Take it from someone who does. And that's Miranda Morales. The hashtag queen of soft style, Miranda Morales.
Yes, so you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to find many, many different types of and styles of t-shirts and all representing the chair shot. Of course, you have the OG chair shot shirt. Hashtag save tag team wrestling, chair shot 316, my shirt. The Queen of Soft Style shirt available. And I believe you can get 15% off of your order currently. So if you'd like to save money, you can go there. We have the Chair Shot Worldwide, Use Your Head. The Suck It Nerd. Well, I remember when that one debuted. It was good. It was a good time. Baron Corbin sucks because, you know, then, now, forever, that's always going to be in style. And speaking of styles, you can get it in whatever style you like. You can get unisex, fitted, tank tops, and of course, the best one, I would say the only one, but I just listed all these other ones. The best one is soft style. So go to prowrestlingtees.com, spend a little change, treat yourself, and support thechairshot.com.
There we go. Head on over there. Get that promo code, by the way, if you want to save 15% through Thursday, noon central time on Thursday, the promo code is customer, because it is their customer appreciation sale. Over at ProWrestlingTees.com, and of course, ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Now I want to transition and talk about the Royal Rumble matches themselves, and we'll keep this quick, but we did have your two traditional Royal Rumble matches, the women's and the men's. And the women's Royal Rumble, there were basically three major stories for me, and that was Bianca Belair coming in number two, eliminating eight people, setting that record. Charlotte Flair, of course, coming in and winning, and herself, you know, LOL Charlotte wins, eliminating four people. And number 30 in the Royal Rumble, of course, I was so excited. I was thrilled. Shayna Baszler comes out number 30, also eliminates eight people, tying Bianca Belair for the record, which means between Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, and Charlotte Flair, that was 20 of your 29 eliminations right there between those three people, which is just absolutely insane. I know, I loved it. Patrick, I'll let you unmute yourself. What did you think of the Women's Royal Rumble match?
I liked the Women's Royal Rumble match. I thought I actually was entertained by it a little bit more than the men. Not that the Men's Royal Rumble wasn't entertaining. We'll talk about that later, I know. We talked about this last year for last year's Women's Royal Rumble. I think that one of the things I've loved about the two matches is that they've used that as an opportunity to launch somebody that they have high hopes for. Last year it was Lacey Evans. I think it was last year, right? Was that?
Yes.
Yes.
In 20 some minutes. And just, you know, whether people thought she was ready or not, whether people still think she's ready or not, here she is a year later, you know, losing a world title shot or a women's title shot to Bayley. So clearly the WWE, and even on the announcing, were like, she's going to be a world champion someday. In my opinion, Bianca Belair got that spot. Got to really have the stage for the first half of that Rumble before she got eliminated. And it was great. And it's exciting to see because I think that's the potential. The other thing that I loved was the return of Naomi. It was great to see her. And just coming out looking fierce. Like, that's all. Like, she just looked fierce with that, just like full of swagger, jumped in. I loved it. It was great. I was happy to see her back. So those were my two big takeaways. I did not want Charlotte to win, but I'm okay with her winning the match. I wanted Shayna to win. She didn't win the match. I was surprised she didn't win the match. But you know, the WWE's got a story to tell, and we're here to see it. So,
well, and when she came out and just Shayna just came out and just started destroying everybody, like, yeah. I was so excited, and you know, I'm a huge Shayna Baszler mark, and she just came out. What's interesting is that Shayna's quote unquote main roster now. She is Raw or SmackDown now. I think she's Raw, and here's how I know. WWE Performance Center put out a video highlighting all of the NXT competitors that performed on the Royal Rumble and listed them by name. Did not name Shayna Baszler in that video or in the description for that video. It's on the Performance Center YouTube.
Interesting.
So, yeah, very, very interesting. Miranda, what'd you think of the Rumble, the Women's Rumble?
I really liked how it was layered as far as having that first part really be led by Bianca and allowing her to really dominate that first portion of the match. And then, right, also that reaction when Charlotte came out too. I think that was a really good, like, telltale sign for Bianca, just her facial expressions of, you know, now it's really getting serious. And even Charlotte coming in, just she just looked refreshed and so easygoing. So I love how they layered
things. It's because she knew she was winning.
Yes, well, that too.
It's that Sasha Banks syndrome.
Bianca had already eliminated, you know, who I forgot at that point how many, but she had already eliminated most of the people in the match. It was all her.
Yeah, so, she was her own little Brock Lesnar in there.
Yeah, so of course Charlotte could come in and just, you know, swoop in and take over. And I really loved, you know, their interactions. But Rumbles can be a cluster a lot of times, and there's so much action happening. But I think what they did is really they had some of these dominant performances, but you could follow it clearly instead of being distracted by all these other things happening. Even when Shayna came in at the end, there were still some people left in the ring, enough for her to eliminate 8, but not too many where you weren't sure what was going on. So I think they told the story really well that made it easy to follow. But yeah, I mean, even though Charlotte won, Bianca got over, and I'm thrilled for her, because even a year ago at NXT TakeOver, people were questioning, you know, should she even be in a title match with Shayna Baszler? And a year later, for her to be in the Royal Rumble and to have that performance, I mean, yeah, I think each year we're going to see progress with all of the women on the roster, but especially NXT. They're going to continue to get better and stronger and more dominant. And I think what the company is doing with them and how they're allowing them to grow and develop is really, really good. I don't think WWE is getting nearly enough credit for that.
Well, it's WWE. Nobody wants to give them credit for anything. Bianca is definitely, I mean, she's better suited outside of NXT, in my opinion. She's better suited to Raw or SmackDown, and I think we're going to see that transition take place. She's got the match coming up with Rhea Ripley, and I think that you know, will probably come time the next draft, which will probably be shortly after WrestleMania. Bianca Belair is going to be moving to Raw or SmackDown. So here's the thing that I really like about Charlotte winning. As much as I wanted Shayna to win and Shayna to challenge Becky Lynch, you can set that up any other way. The prevailing train of thought, the prevailing speculation, and I tend to agree with it, is that Charlotte's not going to be challenging Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. She's not going to be challenging Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. She will be challenging NXT Champion Rhea Ripley as part of the WrestleMania card. And yes, I said NXT champion Rhea Ripley. That was big news last week. Both Adam Cole and Rhea Ripley are now NXT champions. I've been calling for a rebranding of the women's titles for a while now. Just want to point that out. No one ever wanted to listen to me. But here we are. But no, I love the idea of Charlotte Flair challenging Rhea Ripley. I think the reason why I'm willing to buy that speculation is why people believe wrestling news. Because I want it to be true. Because they're taking so many steps to legitimize NXT in the eyes of the typical casual WWE fan. And having Charlotte Flair show up this week or next week at NXT and reveal that she's actually going to challenge Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, I mean, especially because Charlotte's likely to lose that match, just goes so far in establishing a talent like Rhea Ripley and a brand like NXT. What do you guys think, and we'll let Patrick go first, of the possibility of getting Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania?
I agree with your point that it furthers the legitimacy of NXT as its own brand. It fascinates me the number of conversations I have with people that when an NXT talent beats anybody on the main roster, for some reason that should never happen and could never happen. Because
but you just called it the main roster yourself, so that's why people do that.
No, that's their. I'm using their words. Okay. Sorry. Let me be clear. Jesus, you are just all about burying me, fucking Triple H level.
Yeah, because you didn't go off earlier to where I'd tell you shut up.
No, can't stop once up. Anyway, back to your question and your point. I think it'll be an exciting match. I think it's a terrific match. I also think it's a fresh match for Charlotte. And I, you know, it's one of those things like we have seen Charlotte and Bayley. We have seen Charlotte and Becky. I just don't need that match again. And so, sure, give me something different. And yeah, put Rhea Ripley over. Make it huge. Do I think the WWE is really pulling that trigger? If we were to play odds makers today, I'm at about 38%. Like,
yeah,
I'm interested, but I'm not buying it entirely.
Okay, Miranda, what would your percentage be?
Oh, yeah. I was gonna be a little bit higher in the 40s, like 43. But yeah, but not by much. Only because I'm also not sure how we get there. You know, what's Charlotte's motivation?
That's really easy.
Well, okay. So if it's so easy, explain it. Mansplain this to me. Mansplain a women's title and women's program to me.
Well, Charlotte shows up on NXT and declares that she's challenging Rhea Ripley for the NXT Championship because she's already beaten Becky Lynch. She's already beaten Bayley. She wants the, you know, the talent. You know, she can talk about what Rhea Ripley did at War Games, at Survivor Series. There's so many things she can focus on about why she wants to beat Rhea Ripley. And putting Rhea Ripley over in the process, talking about how she thinks of the three champions, Rhea's the best. And she wants to fight the best. And then she can go over and fight Rhea Ripley for her NXT championship. By the way, 53.6% was our average because I went 60%. I really think it's going to happen. Maybe I want it to happen. So, because Patrick got to give the long answer to the first question, we'll let Miranda give the long answer to this question before we wrap things up. Then who challenges Bayley at WrestleMania?
No, that is a good question, B. I don't know if they continue this with Lacey because right now I don't see anyone, at least on the SmackDown side, that they're setting up to be another, you know, opponent for her. And maybe this is, you know, Lacey's moment. I mean, we were just talking about her, about her progress from a year ago. And if this is, you know, the path that they've set for her since January of 2019, this could be the culmination of it. There isn't very many. There's only one show, actually, between WrestleMania or between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and that was Super Showdown. They announced that. That's going to be the next opportunity, I believe, unless they do
Elimination Chamber, Fast Lane. Maybe they won't do Fast Lane. Who knows?
Yeah, I imagine if the Super Showdown will probably be the February show. Then they'll have maybe Elimination Chamber, something in March, and then that's it. So they still have time to keep the story going, but I can't look at anyone on the current SmackDown roster and think they're going to build, you know, a program with Bayley in the next few months. I think they're going to keep this ball rolling with Lacey and they're going to coordinate her and crown her champ at WrestleMania.
Patrick, any thoughts?
So when I was, Miranda, you're not on Twitter, so you didn't see this on Twitter. But when I was on, maybe it was on Instagram too. So you might've seen it on Instagram. A photo popped up on Instagram that said,
I don't follow you on Instagram, so I can't.
Oh, really?
Sorry. Just give your point. Come on. No one cares.
No, that hurts. Anyway, somebody put up a photo that said, y'all think I was coming back at the Royal Rumble? ? And it was a picture of one Ronda Rousey done up in hair and nails. And Greg shaking his head, no, I don't care. I'm going to do a Greg DeMarco bold prediction. Ronda Rousey kicks Bayley's ass at WrestleMania.
Because Bayley's on Fox, I could actually see it because I know they would want to put Ronda on Fox if and when she came back. I just don't think she's coming back yet. Here's who I think is going to challenge Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania. Absolutely nobody. I don't think Bayley's defending her title at WrestleMania, because I think Bayley and Sasha Banks are going to challenge the Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania. Not, there have been plenty of times where titles haven't been defended and champions were in other types of matches at WrestleMania, and I think that's what's going to happen this year, because you remember last year it was, you know, Sasha Banks and Bayley who walked into WrestleMania as the Women's Tag Team Champions and caused all that controversy. You can't turn Bayley or Sasha Banks face right now, and I just think that's the best way you can go with a match like that. So, in my opinion, plus, otherwise you're going to have probably more women's matches than they're going to want to put on the WrestleMania card, sadly, and that's why putting two and two together, that's my bold prediction, Patrick O'Dowd. Bayley and Sasha Banks challenging the Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Team Championships. At WrestleMania, because the women's tag team championships have made an event at a pay per view more recently than any other women's championship in WWE. So there you go.
Can I ask one last WrestleMania question?
No, this will be really quick. Cannot. No, right. Show's almost over.
I'm going to. When do we go
all
to
right,
two
gentlemen,
shows?
Gentlemen, you have 3 minutes.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
When do we go to two shows?
Not this year.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
3 minute warning time. Very excited about this 3 minute warning. I joked and teased at the beginning of the show about how, you know, we're with Chairshot, Chairshot.com, Chairshot Radio Network for now. The staff knows. Patrick knows. Miranda's known longer than anybody. TheChairShot.com is moving. TheChairShot.com is going under the umbrella of eWrestlingNews.com. The exact date, we don't exactly know yet. We're working right now to get all the staff set up over there. We're going to be moving the podcast. eWrestlingNews.com is one of the top five wrestling websites in terms of traffic, in terms of user engagement, in terms of global ranking, United States ranking, all the metrics check out. And I've been working for about a month now behind the scenes on this potential move. Became official last week, and we are going to be moving over and be part of eWrestlingNews.com. What does that mean for you? Obviously, there's going to be a new home for all of your opinion writers, all your podcasters, like the Greg DeMarco Show, like Bandwagon Nerds, like the Hashtag Miranda Show. What it means for us is a bigger audience. We've been at this for almost 2.5 years now, and it's just an exciting opportunity for everybody to expand their reach, to expand their own network, their own audience. And it's a match made in heaven, too. They had some content on their website that's editorial in nature, but 99% of what they do is news, and they don't break news. They don't have any of their own sources. They're kind of reporting on the reporting of news, which is why I'm comfortable with it, because I know people are going to ask me. But they don't have the opinion side. They don't have the podcasting side. So we get to come in and be the face and be the personality of the website and really help take it to that another level, because they're like that step below. You know, Wrestling Inc. is the largest wrestling website in the world right now, and they're in that tier below. And so we get to be that catalyst to help take them to that level. So I'm very excited about it. Very excited about the increased audience. Very excited about the partnership and what we're going to be able to leverage and do over there. A common question that I've received over the past couple weeks is regarding the chair shot. I can't tell you exactly what we'll do with thechairshot.com. I can tell you this. Far too much work and effort has gone into the chair shot brand as a brand. As a group of people, some of us talking behind the scenes, and eWrestling News is extremely supportive of the fact that we will find ways to keep the brand alive. They're very much like the brand. I think they know that their brand isn't even really all that strong. Like, a lot of people didn't even know it existed until we were making this transition, yet they're so big, and so a lot of other people do. Miranda's raising her hand. And that's fine. That's one of the reasons why this works out so well. And so I'm very excited about that and very excited about what we have the chance to do and the reach that we have a chance to expand. What that means for Patrick O'Dowd, Miranda Morales, not much. It doesn't mean much. You know, our writers will go to a different site to then type in WordPress and post their articles, but they'll have a bigger team behind them and a bigger push behind them too. So extremely excited about all that. So yeah, Big move coming up. Not a surprise to either people on this chat with me, because they already knew about it, but I know for some of the listeners, definitely a surprise there. But super excited about that. More details forthcoming. Of course, this gets released on Wednesday. There'll be a post on the website about it on Wednesday as well. Business as usual until we come up with the full transition plan. We got a lot of people to get set up access-wise, content to migrate, and so much more. So be on the lookout for that. And the brand will stay alive, because like I said, some idiot one day came up with a slogan of always use your head. That idiot is me, and I refuse to let go of it.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. Have you made any progress towards the 500? Where are we at? I don't even know.
I think I'm holding steady at 456. Like, okay. I haven't gone up or down in a while.
Hold on.
Yep, still 456 according to this. No. I'm also, by the way, I am 2 followers short of following 1,000 people. So if you want to be the magic, 1,000th, follow me and I'll follow you back.
There you go. Ooh. Then you got to pare it down, because you're supposed to follow less than following.
I actually did. I've dropped a lot of follows.
You've also been dropped by a lot of followers.
Well, bots don't follow me. So.
No, they don't. Or they get shut down by Twitter, and then you replace them with real people. Like, so that's okay. Okay, too. And, of course, you're in the midst of covering the 80s over on Bandwagon Nerds every Tuesday over at thechairshot.com for the time being. People are like, what about Bandwagon Nerds? It's coming with us just because it's on a wrestling site now.
Somebody actually has that?
Yes, because it's not a wrestling show. So, yes, people listen to all these things. It's so funny when people do that. There are some people that believe no one's listening. You can keep believing it. Yeah. And then your show is like the top trending thing on the website, and you're like, obviously people are listening. But no, Bandwagon Nerds will be coming over. But check it out. Big Dave, Patrick O'Dowd, Rick, occasionally sometimes. PC Tunney. Yeah, sometimes when Rick wants to go there. PC Tunney doing a lot of work in the background as well. Of course, Miranda Morales at the hashtag Miranda on the Instagram. Have you caught Patrick yet on the followers? I don't even know. If you have,
no, but I'm getting close. I think I'm 192.
There you go. So getting there.
That you don't follow me back.
Oh, Jesus.
I will follow you back.
No, I don't believe you. Like,
after the show's done, you're going to get a little notification that says the hashtag Miranda is following you.
There you go. Very exciting. Very,
I can't
very
remember
exciting.
What name I made up for the...
Yeah, I know.
See, you don't even check your Insta. Like, I know.
I check it all the time. In fact, right now. Oh, look at that. Look, there's the Instagram. Hey, look at that.
We can see it. No one else can see
Edge.
It. That's right.
There's Edge. Look at that.
So, at Chairshot Greg on your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm the only one with all of them with the same username, same whatever. At thechairshot.com, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, powerslam.tv, promo code chairshot. And go ahead and bookmark it now, ewrestlingnews.com. We're going to get you updates soon. We're going to be getting content over there. Just a lot of great stuff. Hope you're excited, because we're excited as we continue to move that forward and do a lot of exciting things here. Chairshot brand's not going anywhere, and we're going to have a lot of fun moving forward. It's not the end. It's yet the beginning, and I'm super excited about it. So as for us, we'll be back next week. Until then, though, listen to the hashtag Miranda Show. It's your next show coming up at the Chairshot Radio Network, at thechairshot.com, and welcome back, Edge.
Who's it going to be?
You think you know me?
No, no way. Oh, my!
You got to be kidding me.
The Rated R Superstar! Edge is here!
You're welcome.